Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
We give you a warm welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning, and just think about each and every moment that He gives us. The body isn't always very cooperative, but we pray that the mind is fresh so we can endure what He proposes to us. So we just welcome you here today, and it's so good to see a few more faces out, and we just encourage you to stay for the morning service. And I know Brother Ed has got he had a wonderful message last week, and I'm sure he's got one this week, and we just look forward to that and having his good wife Deb, right, with him here this morning. And if he gets out of line, she'll put him back in line, I'm sure. So. But anyhow, welcome. And do you have any announcements pertaining to church? Debbie.
I put the new cleaning schedule up starting in May. So if you have time and you want to take one of the months, that would be great. Again, I put the offer out there. If anybody is doing it by themselves and they need a partner, let me know. I'd be more than glad to come up and do the Sunday school and bathroom area for them, because I know if most people are like I am, bathroom. But it has to be done, and I don't mind. So just keep that in mind. If you would just like to do the vacuum and dusting out here, I'll be glad to do the bathrooms and the Sunday school. This is an announcement, but do you all remember about Pastor Ed's message last week? Got Peter. And what was Peter and the disciples supposed to be? Fishers of men. Well, you all know the other week Pastor Tracy gave me a book on church signs. Guess what one of the church signs were in the book? Be fishers of men. You catch them, God will clean them. What better deal?
Yes, it is.
Oh, Bible study this Tuesday evening at 7. We'll be doing Romans. And we're doing the first and third Tuesdays to see how that goes. So this Tuesday at 7.
And then I'm sure you'll see it many times on the weather report and the news. Don't forget to turn your clocks ahead next Saturday night. That time has come already, and I'm pleased with that. I don't know. I get tired of seeing so much darkness. I like daylight, you know. When you see God's face looking at you and a smile coming back at you, you know things are kind of pretty much in place. So we just appreciate that. Any other messages?
As some of you know, we've been cutting costs here at the church to try to help out with things. And one of the things is they have removed the phone from back here in the office. Everybody has cell phones, so if we're in case of emergency, got it in her pocket. So I want to thank Karen for she made a right above the board back here, because like she said, when you go and you're on the 911 call and you can't think, there's the name, the address, where to get it. So above that board, if we have anything like that, we hope we don't, but if we do, it's right above the bulletin board. She's got it nicely printed and done up there, so we can do that. So she just wanted to make sure that I announced.
Very good. Thank you, Jerry. Any others?
Jerry, along with the phone, anybody that comes to that church and don't have a phone, cell phone, don't hesitate to ask somebody else.
Right.
Plenty of us do.
Yep.
Very good. Okay, for our call to worship this morning, we're going to look at Psalms 121. Follow with me, please, because my eyes ain't what they used to be, and my ears certainly aren't either, so I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall not neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. At your right hand, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor by the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even furthermore. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, that you have always been with us and you walk with us and you shower us with the freshness of your springtime here. And you send us, Father, to the many delights of this month of March as we see the Easter lilies coming out, Lord, and the many tree blossoms. Oh, Father, it is, and the birds just running around through the grass. What a delight it is and how you make the changes come about. So, Father, we just look to you for the light that you shine upon us and the light that we can spread to others, O Lord, as we just send praises to you and to your holy name. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time we'll have a hymn, please. Let us pause for a prayer over top the offering box, if we could, please. Father God, as we come before you today, we just know that your bounties have been with us through our careers and to this point this day. And you know that our givings and our donations to your precious donation box in the back, or offering box, comes with the greetings of love as we drop in what we have in prayer. Pray that it will suffice to take care of the needs of the church. For Father, the whole operation just comes through your bountiful hand and through the funds that have been dropped into that box back there, Lord, to be able to handle the bills and the upkeep to your mighty house here below, Heavenly Father. And we just thank you for the opportunity to serve you in that fashion as we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Joys and concerns. Frank.
I talked to Brother Paul yesterday to find out how he was doing and so forth, and he says he's getting along fine, and he really appreciates the prayers and the concerns that we have for him.
Thank you, Maxine.
My sister and her family have some decisions to make this week about her treatment. She's got info.
Irene. Thank you.
Well, I'm with all the Baker family on and everyone else that is out there that's having surgery or has any kind of illness going on. I'm afraid for all of them.
And you for your
Thank
surgery.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Did you say you go to surgery tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning.
Okay. Thank you very much. Others, please. Faye. We didn't mean to cut him off from the church phone since we had it taken out, but...
Yeah, he didn't say what his issue was, but he said, please ask for prayer.
But he's got directory, so he can locate any of our numbers in there if he has to. Okay, any others, please, Deb?
Just remember to keep Alice's friend Jordan in the prayer list. And, of course, Wilton.
He looks energetic this morning. That's wonderful. He must have been playing basketball before he came. Any others, please?
I want to continue for Woody and for Phil and for salvation for our family.
Thank you. Any others?
I want to add our cousin Wanda. She has to go for some more tests this week. They found some more spots. And also, I'd like to keep Carol Humrick on the prayer list. She had surgery this week, and it went well, but then it did not. So she's back in Frederick Hospital at this time. So I'd like to keep her and her son.
Okay.
We'll keep you and Pat on our prayers too, as well as everybody, Kenny and everybody else in our congregation that's been having some issues, health-wise and otherwise.
Thank you. Okay, any others, please?
Let's remember our servicemen and women.
Servicemen
and women and our police.
Yep, that's for sure. We have none of those. Let us humbly come before the Lord in prayer, however you feel comfortable, please. Oh, Father God, as we come before you today, and we open our hearts and we loosen the spirit to be able to accept the will that you want for us, and the will that we can provide for others, Father, that would be in need and need help to get along in whatever form it might be. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the friendship that we have gathered between you, Heavenly Father, and our other brothers and sisters here today. We just know, Lord, that the comforts of your presence in our heart and in our homes brings delight and lifts the burdens. And Father, we just know that each life has its burdens and has its complications. But Lord, you are the strength to be able to overcome. Father, we just ask that you would bless the servicemen and women for our country as they face many dangers this day. And we think of the countries that are raging in destruction and buildings being bombed. And it's so, well, horrifying. Father, you know, and only your power can help bring peace. And Father, first we got to get that to be able to stabilize in the minds of this creation. And Father, they need help to be able to be realistic and to be able to be comforted by what to do and not continually mess up. Oh, Father, we are gratified today as we seek your guidance and we seek your understanding. For Father, just forgive us always of our failures. And Father, just lead our paths home if we could, Lord. And just walk up to the gate and greet St. Peter as he unlocks the gate and allows us to enter. So Father, what a fine time that will be. The pain of this life will be subsided, and the warmth of the new life will be welcoming. So Father, as we turn to the tale of the many brothers and sisters that have been lifted up to you this day, we think of Brother Paul. We think of Irene, the Baker family, Dave Philpott. We think of Alice's fiance, George, at this time. We think of Wilton and Tammy and Tina. And Father, there are so many of Woody and Phil and the salvation of family. Oh, Father, there are so many that need your help and your guidance. And we think of Wanda, our cousin, as she is facing some other obstacles of health. And Carol Humrick with her shoulder surgery and trying to recuperate from that. And Father, we just thank you for Brother Ed and Sister Deb as they've come today to supply us with the ministry that you have laid on their shoulders. Oh, Father, we just look forward to that time and have been rewarded with last week's message and his presence and his presentation. Oh, Father, we also think of my wife, Linda, with her various aches and pains. And we think of Sister Pat, and we think of myself, oh, Lord. You know each and every moment in our lives where we go astray or where our body takes us that sometimes isn't too pleasant, but Father, you open the doors and you raise the windows to be able to allow the Spirit to get within our hearts and our minds and our souls. So Father, we just ask it all and give you the glory and the praise for healing among one and all. And Father, we just lift it all up to you in the name of our prayer book in the back, in the name of our directory, Heavenly Father. There are so many that need your attention this day and able to put things in order. And again, be with Brother Ed as he gets ready to deliver the message for the day and strengthen him. And Lord, just bless him to the fullest, and may we receive that reward that you are providing through him. So Father God, we just ask it all in the name of Jesus this day as we would say the Lord's Prayer in unison. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. This time we'll have another hymn, please. For a scripture reading here, we're going to look at Luke 8, 26 to 39. And there again, please follow with me if you would. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but, in a tomb. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him and had kept under guard. He was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the saying, "What is your name?" Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because my demons had entered him and they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter then. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out and the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep pace into the lake and drowned. When those who fled them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your own house, and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. I guess the question is this morning, what great things has Jesus done for you? Ponder on that a little bit, and I'm sure you'll come up with a multitude of things. I don't know if I'm saying that word right. Gadara? Is that how you say it? Gadara?
Very good.
Okay. Sailing to Gadara. Well, let's hop on the boat with Brother Ed and see if we can't get there. So we just thank you, Brother Ed.
Thank you.
Turn it over to you now.
Good job. Well done. Mm-hmm. Well done. Oh. Good job.
Well, thank you, sir. It's a blessing. Thank you.
So last week, we went on a little cruise. And at the end of the cruise, Jesus had caught a fisherman, Peter, as well as a few others. Today we're going to go on a cruise too, but it'll be different. We're going into strange places. This account found in the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. Now, if you've ever looked at a map of Israel, you know that in the northern part of the country, there's Lake Galilee or the Sea of Galilee. And where Jesus was centered at the time was clear across the lake. And the lake at that point in time and in places was almost 30 miles wide. So it wasn't a minor trip to go sailing. Now, they were used to sailing back and forth and up and down across the Sea of Galilee. But it was still something because, of course, if there's no wind, what do? Row. That's right. You're rowing. You're either sitting on land waiting for the wind to come up, but most likely you're rowing. But Jesus this time is not going somewhere where the disciples figure he's going to go. Instead, they set a course for the city of Gadara. Now you say, Gadara? I thought it was the Gadarenes, or the Gergesenes, or the Gerasenes, depending upon your translation of the Bible. But whatever, the name may have gotten a little garbled over time, but the city is the same. It was to the east of Capernaum, and it was a very, very strange place for a Jewish rabbi to go. As a matter of fact, it was almost unheard of for a Jewish rabbi to go. And you might say, why is that, Pastor Rick? I'll tell you. It was part of an area of 10 cities on the eastern side where nowadays it would be Jordan. There were 10 cities called the Decapolis. If you know your Greek, that means 10 cities. And these 10 cities were built by the Greeks some 200 years before Jesus' ministry began. And then the Romans took it over once they conquered the area. And it was thoroughly Gentile. There were Jews present, but it was everybody around Jesus thought of the Decapolis as the place where all the Gentiles lived, and where a good Jewish boy would never go, and where a good Jewish rabbi would never go, because he didn't want to be polluted by being among all those Gentiles. But Jesus goes. Now the Romans, when they took over, did what they normally did. Say what you want about the Romans. In many different ways, they were very intelligent, and they thought a lot about how to manage their empire. Let's say that you had served your 25 years in the Roman army. Where are you going to retire to? They don't have Florida. They don't have Arizona. They don't have retirement communities. Well, they do, kind of. The Romans had a policy of certain areas where there might have been occasional troublemakers, shall we say. The Romans would establish cities, and they would put retired soldiers and retired administrators and people who were done their active years of service, but the empire would still use them just in case. They were kind of like, if you want, a militia or a national guard. If they needed to be called up because of trouble, it could happen very quickly. That was the kind of place that Gadara was. The disciples have no idea why Jesus is going there. Jesus says, we're going to Gadara, and they all nod their heads and say, okay, we'll get in the boat. Jesus was going to a place where he was essentially unknown. But it didn't matter. Off he went. And so they sailed across the Sea of Galilee. They got to the dock outside of Gadara in the harbor, and they set off for the town. Perfectly normal, everyday kind of behavior, right? It's what people did all the time. You sailed from one town to the other, you tied up at the dock, you walked into the town. Anybody here have a boat of their own? All right, if you have a boat, most of the time, if you're going from point A to point B, you leave the dock or the marina, you sail to wherever it is you're going, and then you get there, right, and you tie up and you get off the boat because the town is not coming to you. You have to go to the town. Jesus gets off the boat. They go into the town. Meanwhile, that's part A of the story. Part B of the story is that in the town of Gadara, there is a sick, tormented, and desperate individual, a man who is demon-possessed. And there's no two ways about it. This fellow was an extremely desperate case. He went around naked, we are told. He had no family that would claim him. He lived in the cemetery because he was not allowed to be within the city environs. And so where else were you going to live? Well, he lived in the cemetery. I'm sure it was a wonderful apartment that he maintained there as well. But he was desperately alone, but not really alone, unfortunately for him. He was violent. He was unpredictable. We are told that he could not be controlled or restrained, that the authorities tried to chain him to keep him from harming others and harming for himself. And the power of the demons was such that it would give him the physical strength to break the restraints. He would run around all the time throughout the town, throughout the cemetery, howling and crying and screaming. Now imagine that you have something inside of you that's controlling you, and you're a stranger in your own body. And you hear and see this force, this demon or demons, making you do things you desperately do not want to do, and you have no control over your own body. You're an observer in your own body, and it terrifies you. Because you don't want to do these things. You don't want to live in a cemetery. You don't want to walk around naked because you can't keep clothes on for ripping them off. You don't want to be tearing up restraints. You don't want to have the physical agony that you're enduring, but you have to live with it. Now, how hopeful are you for your future? Any idea? Hopeless. Not hopeless is the word we want to hear. It was hopeless for him, for his point of view. He had an existence, but you couldn't say that he was living. Day or night, at any time, the demons would seize control of him. They would make him do awful things. It would drive him to the wastelands. Or maybe just worst of all, when he was by himself, he would hear these whispers in his heart and in his soul that there was no help, there was no hope. And there was no escape. We will always have you. And most likely he couldn't even kill himself, which some people might have tried to do. We, sitting here in Rocky Ridge today, cannot fully grasp how desperate this man's situation was. But on this day, the demons take him to the waterfront, which really you'd think is the last place that they would want to go. Because I think and I believe, but I can't prove this from the text, so this is merely a theory. Don't say that Pastor Ed said they did this because Jesus did it. This is just my theory. I believe that Jesus had already commanded them, you guys got to come down here, you're going to meet me here. Whether you like it or not, you must obey me. Come down and meet me at the wharf. And the demons cannot disobey the Son of the Living God. They must obey. The man comes down. The demons see Jesus coming through his eyes. They throw him to the earth in a fit of suffering and agony. But even while they're throwing his body down, they are shrieking, Jesus, what do you want with us? What do you want? Now, Luke tells us that Jesus wastes no time. Even as the demons are shrieking out this question, he's already said, out! So we see that the power of Satan and his minions is already broken. It's not broken in the future, it's broken now. These creatures who have tormented this man mercilessly are now pleading with Jesus for mercy. Jesus says, what's your name? And the demon replies, Legion. How many soldiers were in a Roman legion? The Roman legion was a basic unit of organization in the Roman army. Any idea? Not 100. 1,000. 1,000. Is it any wonder that this poor man was in such agony and misery if he had 1,000 demons tormenting him? If every demon got a day taking charge of him, they would only get a shot every 3.5 years. What misery was this man in? And Jesus says, all right, what's your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. And the demons beg and they plead with Jesus, don't send us into the abyss. And if you want to know why they don't want to go into the abyss, go another time at Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Because when they go to the abyss, they're destroyed. And even demons want to live. You and I have survival instincts, right? Even demons have survival instincts. Even though they've already lost, they want to put off the day of reckoning as long as possible. And they grovel for Jesus before Jesus, and they beg him for an alternative. Now, they happen to look around. And on a nearby hillside, there's a herd of pigs. How many people like pork? In all of its many forms. So these pigs are out on a hillside feeding. And they have swine herds that are tending them. Now, by the way, this is an absolute proof that Jesus was in Gentile country, because every good Jewish boy never ate bacon or ham. You know, pork was off limits to Jews. But here they were. Romans and Greeks ate pork. They used pigs in their religious ceremonies. There were all these pigs. I don't know if there were 1,000 pigs. Probably not. But I mean, how are people going to keep track of a herd of 1,000 pigs? I don't know much about keeping track of pigs, but I have a feeling that 1,000 pigs would have pretty much whatever they wanted to do, no matter what their tenders said to them. But with a desperate plea, Legion begs to be sent into the swine and allowed to possess them. And so Jesus says, go ahead. And the demons rush out of the poor, unfortunate man, and they enter into the pigs. Hereby we learn one spiritual thing. Pigs cannot handle demon possession. Pigs cannot handle being possessed by demons. The pigs run off the cliff, down into the lake, drown. The swineherds look at each other and say, did you see that? Did that just happen? And some of them probably went to the edge of the cliff, looked down. Yeah, that happened. Now what? We were responsible for all those pigs, and now they're fish food. They're gone. So they run back to the owners of the pigs, and they say, you will never believe what just happened to your pigs. And they say, sure, what happened? You know, the whole herd of them just ran off the edge of the cliff and drowned. And the farmers probably said, yeah, sure. So they went and looked for themselves. And there's pigs in the lake. And people from all over the town of Gadara come out to the lake. And what do they see? A sudden shortage of ham and bacon. The price of pork is going up in Gadara. They see a large amount of drowned pigs, which is pretty scary, right? Because you don't know how those pigs... All you know is you see drowned pigs. How did they get there? What happened? We don't know, but there they are. But it gets worse. After they look at the pigs, there's Jesus with the nameless man who had a legion of demons. And he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, fully clothed and in his right mind. And Jesus is teaching him, and he's talking like a normal person. And everybody goes, what? If seeing all those pigs in the water was scary, seeing this guy healed and in his right mind is frightening. Because we can't explain it. It doesn't make sense. It defies the natural order. It can't happen. And yet it has happened. And then, even worse than that, when they ask the former demoniac, how did that happen? Well, this guy right here, this Jesus, he just said to them, go, and they left. And he said to me, be whole, and I'm whole. And the Gentiles look at each other, and they look at Jesus, and they look at the man who's been healed, and they say to Jesus, no disrespect, will you get out of town? We can't deal with you. You wouldn't expect this to happen, but they can't handle what they've learned. It's better for Jesus to go away than to stay and keep doing miraculous stuff. Because miracles mean that God is at work. And maybe we don't want God to be quite as much at work as maybe God wants to be. Jesus is not going to stay where he's not wanted. File that away, by the way, in your memory. When you think about some places and situations and persons. Sometimes we wonder why Jesus doesn't do anything. Jesus doesn't go into those situations or those people because they don't want him. And so he can't be there. Because he'll honor their request. He honors their request. They get back in the boat, back to Capernaum, they go. So what do we learn from being in the boat this time? Jesus gave the disciples a whole lot to think about as they were going back across the lake. The first thing he's done is he has left behind a powerful witness. Say, what do you mean? Well, the man who has been healed, the demons cast out, he begs Jesus to come along. He wants to be one of the disciples, and Jesus says, nope, I got a more important job for you to do. You be my witness over here in the Decapolis among all these Gentiles. Why? Because everybody knows you. And because they know you, they can see the change in your life, and they can, through you, hear about me. You're my special witness right here. He will preach very effectively. Second thing, Jesus has taught the disciples, and he's taught the disciples and us, the value of one soul. The value of one soul. He went all the way across the Sea of Galilee for one soul. Ultimately, more souls, of course. But he had to start with one. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is the value of one soul? What is the value of one person whose life has been changed and altered and they're saved from eternal death? Jesus will go to any lengths to save even one person. Any lengths. What lengths did he go to save you? A cross? To reach you wherever you were at the time you received him as Savior and Lord? Some of us might have even said, I'll never be a Christian. You can't make me. I'll never follow Jesus. Which is a corollary lesson, by the way. Never say to the Lord, never. Because a lot of times when you say never to the Lord, it says, the Lord says in return, oh, really? Oh, really? We'll see about that. The third thing he's taught the disciples is that you have seen just a foretaste of the power that I wield as the Son of God. I'm pretty sure that other people had tried to cast the demons out of this man. They couldn't do it. Jesus says, out! And they're out. And that's just a glimpse of his power. Just the tiniest little bit. What power does he yield and wield through your life and mine? We say to ourselves, well, we're not much, you know. Now I get Medicare, you know. That means I'm OLD. And God doesn't do things with old people. He only does stuff with young people. Baloney. God still works through you. Because God is not looking at your age. God doesn't care if your hair is gray. Or if you don't have any hair. God doesn't care. After all, you're going to be living with him for eternity. Where you are now is just the beginning. How is he showing his power through you? And because Legion addressed Jesus as the Son of the Most High God, if they hadn't really heard it before, they've gotten a foretaste of who and what Jesus actually is. He's not just a teacher, not just a rabbi, not just a really nice guy to follow around and learn stuff from. He's the living God. I already asked you, but I want you to think again as you come to the end of this message. Jesus sailed to a Gentile town for one soul. What will he do? How far will he go for you or for others? And you say, I don't know anybody that needs to be saved. Really? Really? Okay, if you try to comfort yourself with that thought, well, I don't really know anybody who needs to be saved. Go take a drive through Frederick. Go take a drive through Gettysburg.
D.C.
D.C. or Baltimore. My job right now, that I'm retired, is I drive special needs kids to and from school in York, city of York. And York's a rough place. I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but it really is. I mean, you know, it's not what it once was by any stretch of the imagination. It's a pretty rough place. And this week when I was driving from point A to point B as I'm driving through the inner city of York, I see all these people of all kinds of skin colors and all kinds of other things that talk, that show that they're different or their thinking is different. And once again, I was thinking this week, Lord, how amazing it is that you consider every single person that I'm seeing as worthy of your death on the cross. Whether or not they receive it is not the question. Well, it is the question, but he was going to do it anyway. He considers them. Sometimes some of the people we consider the worst dregs as worthy of dying on the cross and being raised again for their soul's sake. And I wonder, how can people resist such love? How can people refuse to accept such goodness and mercy? How is he going to reach them through you and I? And I asked myself that this week. These five kids that ride in my van, how is Jesus going to be showing himself through me to them? He has to. Otherwise, I'd be wasting my time with them. Somehow they have to see Jesus through me. Who is going to see Jesus through you this week? Not next year, not next month. Who's going to see Jesus through you this week? How are you going to live for him in such a way that people say, oh, you're one of them. You're one of them Christians. You're one of them people that believe in God. And then they'll say, maybe. Well, I don't believe in God. And you can say, don't worry, God believes in you. And he's come to save you. Whether you believe him or not is not part of the question. You're just starting the conversation. When you say to Jesus, I don't believe in you, Jesus says, oh, really? Let's talk about this. And you just might find real life. Let's pray. Lord, it's just, you would go to great lengths. You would cross over a lake. You would go to a cross. And Lord, sometimes we have to admit we're hardly even willing to go across the street because we've forgotten how far you went for us, how much you love us. Forgive us, Lord, for our spiritual amnesia. Help us to see the world around us with new eyes. That no matter where we go, no matter who we're with, that you say to us, this is a person that I want you to talk to. This is a person I want you to pray for. This is a person I want you to remember because I want to reveal myself to them. And you're the only way available. Help us to be willing to put ourselves out there for you. Because, Lord, the value of one soul is literally incalculable. You saved us, and we want others to be saved as well. Hear and answer our prayer now. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing number 500, if you'll stand, please, if you're able.
Wondrous love and care, and when all of life
Before I pronounce the benediction, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to share God's word with you the last two Sundays. It's been a real privilege and a blessing to me.
Blessing to us.
So, thank you again. And I'm sure if she who becomes desperate calls preachers again.
In fact, I have my scheduling book.
Oh, while you're talking about this, she says. Yes, I figured that Sister Deb was already well organized. Let's put it that way. Lord, we thank you for our time of worship this morning. I thank you for everyone, youngest to oldest, who is here to worship, to glorify you, and to learn more about what it means to be your child. Lord, I pray for this church that you will continue to bless and to keep them, to strengthen them in their work for you. May we each individually this week, Lord, be able to listen to your voice, that still small voice that whispers, never shouts, but is never silent until we come around. For those persons that you want us to reach for you, let us do that with joy. Send us out this week, we pray, with your blessing. And now may grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit be with you now and every day. Amen. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here. Praise Father, Son,